Well, good morning. It's pretty good. Let's try it again. Good morning. Wonderful. It's great to be with you today. Would you take your Bibles, please? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And while you're turning, students, I just want you to know, as one of the board members, that we love you. We pray for you. We love our school, and we're glad you're here. And I just wanted to say this morning, thank you so much for choosing ABC to train. And we know you're in a good place. Staff and faculty, I just want to take a moment and say thank you to you. We love you. Praise God for each of you. And praise the Lord for serving so faithfully here. Hebrews chapter 12. When you find your place, we'll start in verse 1 here in a moment. Let's start in a word of prayer. Father, we've already prayed multiple times this morning. But right now we're asking, would you open up our minds, open our hearts, that we will be able to see what you have for us today. Thank you for the incredible heritage you've given us, this invincible heritage of faith. And I pray you teach us what it means to have an extraordinary faith. In Jesus' name, all God's people said. Amen. For years I thought my gospel testimony was boring. I mean B-O-R-I-N-G, boring. I was born into a family of a long line of Christians. I received Jesus by faith at age 5. I surrendered to the ministry at age 8 or 9. I was kept from a life of sin. How boring is that? I mean, boring. That's not exciting at all compared to some that have been saved after a horrible accident or saved out of a life of sin. Oh, and it gets more boring. Both of my grandfathers were gospel preachers. My father is a preacher of the gospel. My dad comes from a family of 13 children. 9 of them came to ABC, or what was then ABI. All 9 of them have served the Lord in full-time vocational ministry, and their picture is seen on the screen. This is my family. I followed their footsteps and came to ABC to train as well. I met my wife here, and we've had the privilege of serving at the same church for all these years. I have many cousins that are serving God in vocational ministry. My brother is a gospel preacher. His daughter, my niece Angela Wegner, is here this year training for ministry. My sister has lived in China for 15 years using TESOL to share the gospel with the Chinese. The ministry is all I've ever known. Fellas, I'm not a hunter. I'm not a woodworker. I'm not a mechanic. All I know how to do is pray, preach, and sing. That's about all I know how to do. But you talk about boring, right? Right? Actually, what I used to think was a boring testimony, I now know and have come to believe is a blessed testimony. It's a blessed testimony. Why? Because I realized the heritage that I have received in the Wegner family, my physical family. By God's grace, I've received a great heritage of faith. I'm a part of a family that loves God and has a history of serving Him. Yet there's no room to boast. There's no time to boast, for this all is a work of a mighty God. And now it's my duty and my personal responsibility to carry on that heritage, to pass it on to my son and to others that come into my path. And this morning, whether you're from a godly heritage or not in your physical family, you too, child of faith, have a responsibility. And your responsibility is to carry on the invincible, the unstoppable heritage that you have received when you became a part of the family of God. Amen. On the day you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you were born in the family. You inherited a spiritual family. In this family, there's a long line of believers with diverse backgrounds, experiences, and failures, yet with a common faith. In the chapter before our text this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer highlights some of your spiritual relatives in what is affectionately called what? The Hall of Faith. From your relatives of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and even Rahab the harlot. These are your relatives in the faith. And the writer stops naming names about verse 33. And in chapter 11, he just lists acts of faith as these of these believers. Through faith, the Bible says, they stopped the mouths of lions, escaped the sword, faced cruel mockings and scourgings, were stoned and some were sawed in two. Can you imagine? Verse 38 says, of these heroes of the faith, of whom the world was not even worthy. The world was not even worthy. And these were ordinary people with an extraordinary God and an extraordinary faith. Ordinary people like you and I with an extraordinary faith from an extraordinary God. However, that same faith is not just reserved for these alone in the Scriptures. That same faith can be yours as well. An extraordinary faith. Come along with me in the next few minutes and let's explore the keys to an extraordinary faith. The keys to an extraordinary faith. Now, instead of just leaving the readers to bask in God's greatness of the people in the past in chapter 11, in chapter 12 now, the writer of Hebrews gives us the keys to obtain such a faith in the present ourselves. Let's take a moment and define faith. Faith simply means to believe or trust. And chapter 11, verse 1 tells us that faith is the substance, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it yet, but you trust it by faith. So it's complete assurance, hope, and conviction in Almighty God. Saving faith, then, is I'm assured of God. When I trust Him to save me, He'll do it. I believe it, He'll do it. Practical faith says I'm assured of God. When I trust Him to lead me, He'll lead me. When I trust Him to do the impossible, He'll do the impossible. For He's the God of the impossible. It's practical faith. What a privilege to have an extraordinary faith in an extraordinary God. My question to you this morning is, will you be one to carry on the heritage of an extraordinary faith? Will you carry it on? If so, how do you do that? What does that look like? Well, the text tells us the keys to extraordinary or extraordinary faith. Chapter 12, verse 1, the first part A. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Wherefore, seeing the witnesses that we have just heard about in chapter 11, seeing the heroes of the faith, they surround us with their example. They surround us with their encouragement that if they did it and lived a life of faith, so can we. And so the first key is to learn. Learn. Get inspired by godly heroes. Every Christian needs godly heroes. Philippians 3:17, Paul tells us to mark godly examples. Look around at those in your life that are living for Christ and mark them. Who are your heroes? You have heroes of the faith. You need to have heroes. Ultimately, our focus is on the Lord, not on man, but God gives man human examples to show us how to walk with God, people that we can rub shoulders with and prove that it is possible. There's several ways to be a learner and to get inspired by godly heroes. First of all, read about past heroes. Read about past heroes, not just in chapter 11, but all through this incredible book. We hear about great heroes of the faith. Some of my favorites are Joshua and David and Joseph. They paved the way for us. They showed us what it was like to believe in an almighty God. Also, you can read Christian biographies of Christians who were used by God because of their faith. In this past year, I've had the privilege of reading about the life of Amy Carmichael and Nate Saint and Eric Little and Billy Graham. And I'm telling you, I'll never be the same. Their lives have incredibly inspired mine. Read about godly people of the past. Let them inspire you to let God use you as He used them. So read about past heroes. Secondly, recognize present heroes. Identify godly people that are in your life and watch them and seek to model your life after theirs. Get around godly people and watch their lives. I'm sure at the missions conference last week, you had an opportunity to rub shoulders with some of God's finest servants. I want my son around missions, around missionaries. We're about at our church to start missions conference this coming Sunday. And I want to get him around them as much as He can. They're normal, ordinary people, but in many cases with an extraordinary faith. So read about past heroes, recognize present heroes, and remember, though, remember the God of the heroes. Again, it's right to note godly heroes. Paul said to mark them. Paul boldly said, mark me as an example. But we must never forget to see the God who is in the ultimate hero. He is the ultimate hero. Who is the power behind human heroes? Who gets the glory in the story of David and Goliath? God's the hero. God got the glory. Who gets all the glory when Moses stood by the Red Sea and it parted? God gets the glory. So when we see godly people, we still have to remember who gets the glory, and it's remembering the God of the heroes. So students, faculty, staff, those that are here today, who are your heroes of the faith? You want to have an extraordinary faith? Note those. Learn from those. Be a learner. The first step in having extraordinary faith is learning from those that do. It's very possible, as we're learning so much in our classes, to let knowledge puff us up. But don't let knowledge puff you up. Keep a teachable spirit. Be a learner. Secondly, not only does extraordinary faith require you to learn, if you want extraordinary faith, it requires you to lay aside. Lay aside. Set aside the weight of sin. Back in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The writer now introduces this athletic theme of a runner in a race. In order to run effectively, you must lay aside certain hindrances to running. And the word weight here means burden or hindrance. Lay aside the burden so you can run free. What are hindrances to a runner? It might be hard for you to believe. I've never been much of an athlete, but in my 40s, I picked up running, Mrs. A, in my 40s. What in the world was I thinking? I mean, it hurts, and I'm not very good. I'm not very fast, but I've actually learned to enjoy beating my body. I don't know why, but I've learned a few things about running. Hindrances to running are being out of shape. It hinders your running. Hindrances to running include extra pounds. It hinders your running. A bad diet hinders your running. Heavy clothes hinders running. Obstacles in my way hinders my running. So just as a runner has burdens and hindrances to work with that he needs to set aside so he can run free, so does a Christian. We need to set aside our burden. What are our burdens? Well, think of the same analogy here. Our burdens are being out of shape spiritually, not having a good diet of God's word, not removing obstacles. We need to learn to set aside the weight of sin. Not only that, but specifically lay aside all sin that easily sets you back. Lay aside all sin that easily sets you back. The Bible says, the sin that so easily besets us. Literally, the idea here is the sin that stands around or the sin that clings so closely to your life. These sins that keep hovering around us, that keep clinging to us, would identify them and lay them aside. Let me ask you this morning, what are your besetting sins? What are your besetting sins? I don't have to think long at all. I know mine. I can list them off to you like that. They just kept clanging around. It's my responsibility, if I want extraordinary faith, to identify them and lay them aside with God's help so I can run free. It reminds me of the whole idea in Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24, putting off the old, putting on the new. It's a responsibility, it's a discipline we have, but we have grace that helps us to do this. To have an extraordinary faith, it's vital that you recognize what burdens and sins are holding you back and then lay them aside. You may need help in doing that. Students, you're in a good place here to get help. Your student deans are here to help you. Your pastors of your church are here to help you. Your teachers, professors, they're here to help you. Let us help you. We still need help ourselves. Get help. to lay them aside. Be humble. Get the help you need. So to have an extraordinary faith, according to the text, be a learner. Learn from those that have run before you and are running now. Lay aside the sin that's going to hold you back. And thirdly, live. What? Yeah, live. Run the Christian race with endurance every day. Look at the latter part of verse 1. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Christian life is one to be lived. Don't just sit and do nothing. Run. Live. Get up. Go on. Well, I've had all kinds of heartaches in my past. Get up and go on. God can use you. Some of the finest people God have used had great difficulty they faced. God can use you, not just in spite, but because of what you've been through. Get up and run. You know, even though I come from a godly family, it's still my responsibility to run. I can mess it up. I know me. I'm a good sinner. I can mess it up. And certainly there are some in my family who have chosen not to pass it on. They have chosen not to follow after the heritage that has been handed to us. So I have to live the Christian life on my own, not rely on my family, and so must you. So how do we live? How do we run? Well, first, we live with an urgent mindset. Urgent mindset. There's something just about the word run that encourages urgency. Run. It's not slow. You're moving. The word has a sense of hastening to the task before us. Why should we run? Well, it's a race. The Bible says it's a race. Life is so short. God is wanting to be glorified through you. God wants to use you to influence lives for Him, and you only get one life. Don't be slack about it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's run. Let's live this Christian race. Live with an urgent mindset. Secondly, live with an endurance mindset. When the Bible says run with patience, the idea it means endurance, but cheerful endurance. Not just enduring to the end, but doing it with a smile on your face and joy in your heart. I had a missionary at our church this past week, missionary Steve Davis, to Lithuania, and he's struggling with cancer. And he has 11 children, and they're depending upon him. But he's living with joy. And what a testimony he was to my own heart this past weekend. Sunday, as you know, was the International Day of Prayer. The Voice of Martyrs have put out lots of videos, and I understand from Dean Child's chapel on Monday that you saw multiple of these videos in the recent missions conference. Did you see the one about Pastor Han? Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Discipled 1,000 North Koreans before being executed, knowing he would at some point. And the man in the video he was ministering to picked up where he left off, knowing he would face execution. But they did it with joy. In service to God, you will face many challenges, my friends. You will face many challenges. But don't you dare let that hold you back. Live with a desire to cheerfully endure to the end. And then live with a finishing mindset. Live with a finishing mindset. The race is set before us. The task is set before us. The finish line is set before us. It is not that far away. We cannot quit. We cannot quit. A student sat across from me in Chick-fil-A about a year ago this time, November 2018. He was a young man who grew up in our youth group and seemingly had a phenomenal faith. Never known a student so evangelistic in all my life. He had 1,500 houses in his neighborhood, and he claimed before the Lord he was going to knock on every one of those and share Christ with them, and he did. He and his buddies would stand outside of Walmart. Well, they went into Walmart to witness and got kicked out. They had to go 20 paces outside of Walmart, they were told. They counted off the 20 paces and stood there and witnessed like crazy. Came to ABC for about a year and a half and had a crisis of faith and seemed to pull things together. But now across from Chick-fil-A just about a year ago told me, I've been duped. I no longer believe this. I'm turning my back on the faith. So sad. Yet I have hope that God can return him I can't imagine that he's a believer. He wants nothing to do with Jesus. Yet, he has so many people praying for him, I don't think he has a chance. But let me tell you what that does. When I hear of stories like my friend and the story of Josh Harris just recently, who had written Ica Stating Goodbye. I taught that to our students for years. Turned his back on the faith and others. One thing that does for me, not only saddens me, not only gives me hope that God can bring them back, but it energizes me. What? It energizes me. Because I look at my own life and I say, God, they may turn your back on you, but by God's grace, may I never turn my back on you. Where else am I going to turn? You've got the words of life. How dare I try to live this life without you? You're the hope. Friend, are you running the Christian life? Or is it more like walking, limping, or crawling? And sometimes it is that way, even for the godly. Walking, limping, or crawling. But God calls us to run. The goal that God has for us is to live, run, get in the race, and do it with joy and endurance. And when you live like that, you'll attract the masses to a Christianity that is attractive and is one that's possible for others to live. Extraordinary faith requires us to learn, requires us to lay aside, requires us to live, and lastly, requires us to look. Look, verse 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, Jesus, consider him, and endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Look, the fourth key is to look. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the one at the finish line. Chapter 11 gives us good examples, but here we have the greatest example for us to follow. Who is he? His name is Jesus. He's the author, number one. He's the author of our faith. He's the first as the example of our faith. He's the author. He wrote it. He's the chief leader. He's the captain. He's our prince. He is one we look to as an example of how to live the Christian life, for he lived it and lived it perfectly. And as God, we look to him as the preeminent one anyway. Jesus, the author of our faith. Secondly, Jesus, the finisher of our faith. The finisher of our faith. He's the last as the example of our faith. He's the finisher, the completer. He's completed salvation's work. There's nothing that needs to be added to it. We trust him by faith. And then we see Jesus, the example of our faith. The Bible says here he lived and he died and he did it with joy. He endured all the way to the end. He despised the shame he bore. He was exalted by the Father. He made a greater sacrifice than we will ever make and endured such hostility. The Bible says when it says contradiction, he endured such hostility towards him, against him. And the Bible says here we need to consider him in our struggles, because if we don't, we will be wearied and faint in our minds. If we keep our eyes off Jesus, we will grow weary and faint. And every time in my life, which has been often, that I have grown weary or grown faint, it's because my eyes got off of Jesus and on my circumstances or on others. We must consider him far beyond a gaze at a godly human hero. We must put our eyes for the ultimate gaze on God himself through the person of the Lord Jesus. Is your gaze on the Lord Jesus this morning? Have you looked to yourself, to your abilities, or to your intellect instead? Let's turn our gaze back to him, for that's what extraordinary faith requires. The canon of scriptures is finished. We have all the revelation we need. But I often wonder, if God was still adding names to Hebrews chapter 11, would your name and my name be added? Added to the hall of faith, this invincible, unstoppable heritage of faith. Because we've lived an extraordinary, extraordinary life of faith. challenge you and encourage you this morning, it's possible. It's possible. It's possible for you right now as a student to have an amazing life of faith, to trust the God of the impossible for the impossible, to trust God as many around our country are doing, that the third great awakening in America is still possible. Everywhere I go, people I'm talking to, the word is God's up to something. God's up to something, especially here in the South. God's up to something. There are plenty of believers that still believe in a better day. That in our day and age, it's still possible for Almighty God to bring about a nationwide revival, sweep through this land, and turn Hollywood, turn our culture back to Him. It's possible if we believe by faith. We need men and women with extraordinary faith. How do you do that? Learn. Learn from others who have done it. Heroes from the past, heroes from the present, heroes in your life, learn. Lay aside the weight of sin that's holding you back. Lay aside and get help to do that. You're a wise, humble person if you can get help. I've often had to do so. And live the Christian life. Live the Christian life with urgency, an enduring mindset, and finish this race, knowing it'll be hard, but life is short. And look to Jesus. You must keep your eyes on Him. If you don't, you will faint and you will get weary. You keep your eyes on Him, and He keeps giving you hope. We have a heritage of an invincible, extraordinary faith. Will you carry it on? Father, thank you so much for the time in your word today. I love you, and I love this book. And I thank you for the challenge you've given us today through your word to carry this on. And the students may have already heard from this passage multiple times this year. It just so well fits with the theme. But Lord, we need it again and again. My heart needs it again and again and again. You have given us such an unbelievable spiritual family. And what a heritage we have. And I pray that everyone in the room will make a decision this morning, if they haven't already, that we're going to carry it on by God's grace. We're going to carry it on. And God help us, please. In Jesus' name.